I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, as usual, tonight's program will be jam-packed with information, and it will center around the idea of our 12 chakras and our 12 strands of DNA, and ideas and concepts, as well as techniques to reconnect those specifics. And before we get into all that, I'd like to kick off the program in our normal manner, which is to have a little bit of japa yoga or mantra repetition, and that will be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that'd be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om, Hari, 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 Om,
Hari, Hari, Hari,
Om, Hari, 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 Om,
Hari, Hari, Hari,
Om, Hari, 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 Om,
Hari, Hari, Hari,
Om, Hari, 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 Om,
Hari, Hari,
Om, Hari, Om, Hari, Om, Hari, 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 Om,
Hari,
Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari
Hari Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Hari Hari Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari Om
Yes, that was a clip from back in the 1970s, and a little bit of Japa Yoga, J-A-P-A, and that is one of the six branches of the integral yoga programs that Sri Swami Satchananda was the founder of. And I'd like to take this opportunity to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is, and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should also consult with your health practitioner in case of any medical conditions. And by the way, if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, you should know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical as much as human possible. And that's in an effort to become more self-empowered and to be more autonomous in creating excellent health and also in terms of you maintaining it. And if you want to really get into the details of the ET Yoga spin on health, you can go into the ET Yoga archives from the May 20th program of this year and June 3rd program. And if you're interested in getting into the archives, the easiest way to do that I know about is go to my website at etyoga.com, and on the main page is the radio archive button. Just hit that one button and it'll take you right into the place where you can search for the appropriate date of the ET program that you wish to view. And there you go. There's no charge, and you can peruse through the programs at your leisure. I'd also like to take this opportunity to give my gratitude, appreciation to the ET Yoga audience just for being you. As Bashar would say, you're making the optimum difference just by being you, and others become aware of the difference you're already making when you're doing your passion. And certainly ET Yoga is one of my passions, and ET Yoga kind of came about because I saw that there was a need to connect some of the amazing extraterrestrial information that's coming to us from ETs in a way that enhances the yoga teachings, and thus the marriage of ET and yoga. And ET Yoga is all about self-realization. That's what we're here for. And it's my pleasure to be able to bring ET Yoga listeners information related to, in some way, to the whole journey and process of yoga, which, to my way of thinking, yoga means union of you and your higher self. So self-realization is at the foundation of ET Yoga. And, of course, I'd also want to give some special thanks and appreciation to those listeners who do take the time to write to me, send me an email, and tell me about things you want to hear about on ET Yoga, ask questions about things that have been presented on the program. And recently I've been getting a number of really fascinating emails from people who are sending me links to information and other spiritual teachers that enhances my knowledge. And I want to give a special thanks to those people who have done that. And, of course, ultimately, what we'd most like to talk about, there aren't any words for, and as Swami Satchitananda would say, as many minds as many gods. Because if you could define the infinite, then it wouldn't be infinite. And when you take a cup to the ocean, it takes the shape of the cup. And similarly, when you experience the infinite, or all that is, or prime creator, or God, or whatever label you choose to define it, it takes the shape of that mind. And to me, it's like we're all thoughts in the mind of God. And as an example, what are the Akashic Records except for all the thoughts that have ever been thought in all universes and all possibilities arising from those thoughts? And I think one of the things that the extraterrestrial information has brought forward is the fact that thought creates. And that's really been the focus of a lot of the Pleiadian teachings, especially information brought forward by Barbara Marciniak. And I highly recommend her book, Bringers of the Dawn, as sort of the classical E.T. Book on information. And I also recommend Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda. To me, that's the classic yoga text. And this whole concept that thought creates is part of that whole idea of E.T. and yoga, and the concept that I had of the E.T. Teachings enhancing the yoga teachings. And science knows this also, that thought creates. And we know that the universe is holographic and fractal, and that it operates with the energy of consciousness and the language of interpretation, like any computer program has a language of interpretation. The language of interpretation of the universe is belief. And all the methods for reality creation revolve around the idea of belief. And from the beliefs you downloaded from your original caregivers to the positive scenarios you attracted from positive holograms related to positive spin, to the actual manifestation of circumstances through creation that you've done yourself by creating yourself as a perfect match for those experiences and frequencies. And it all ties together with the whole idea of belief. And you can't figure it all out. That level can only be experienced, the highest levels at least. And thus, if we remain too attached to our identity, the highest levels cannot be attained. And this is one of the reasons why at the end of the program I always try to share with the listening audience the Who Am I technique, because it's so powerful and because it gives credence to no thought and it actually dissolves thought. And the Who Am I is a question which attracts the answer. So you become a perfect match for that frequency by asking the question. And in fact, if you get centered on higher consciousness, you per se really don't know anything. You just ask the questions and the answers come. All information is actually available to all of us at all times. And it's just a matter of hearing the answer that comes. And that's why it's good to follow your heart or your intuition, at it is the next best thing. You just know. And because most people are totally lost in their thoughts, they believe that they are their thoughts. And, well, who are you then when you are aware of your thoughts? You are just awareness. And that awareness can be subjective, or it could be an awakening of your higher self, or both simultaneously. And the reason I know that is that I've experienced it. And I really think this whole idea that that I did come up with over 10 years ago, connecting ET information and yoga, really does enhance the yogic teachings. My personal yoga background came from Sri Swami Satchidananda and Baba Ram Das and Paramahansa Yogananda and Sri Ramana Maharshi. And much appreciate the gifts that all of those special beings have made available in terms of information. But at the same time, There's lots of new things. Like, for example, what we're talking about on tonight's program, 12 strands of DNA and 12 chakras. In none of my yoga background was there any mention about that. And I think this is a really important subject because, to me, the physical manifestation of self-realization, in other words, what does that look like in the physical body? Well, it looks to me like, if I was to explain it, it would mean 100% brain capacity. It would mean the activation and reconnection of all 12 chakras and all 12 strands of DNA. To me, that was the whole concept of the human being. And in many respects, we function like a hairdryer that's been unplugged. All the parts are there, but it's not operating if it's not plugged in. And until these 12 chakras and 12 strands of DNA are reconnected, we're not plugged in. And certainly a lot of the specific information on tonight's program will center around that concept. And for years, science has recognized that we have two active physical strands of DNA, and we have a further 10 energetic DNA strands which have been dormant within the human being, and this has been so for many centuries. And these dormant strands of DNA have been discovered by scientists who, not knowing the function of these strands, have identified them as junk. And our DNA is therefore our personal blueprint, and as such holds all our mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual information. And this also includes our entire history in this galaxy and previous incarnations on other planets. So that information is all in our DNA. And at conception, we receive from our two different bloodlines, which would be our parents, certain matched and paired recessive genes. And these genes hold light codes that give us the highest opportunity for accessing and developing our spiritual abilities and for healing the damaged and wounded aspects of our soul. And at the same time, these genes hold memories which have created blocks to our path to oneness and initiated our deep-rooted feelings of separation. Separation from our true essence and our Creator. And this memory of separation has forced us to create experiences and situations where we are given the opportunity to heal ourselves, our world, and our separations. And as a soul, we carefully picked and chose our parents and their bloodlines in order to facilitate experiences and situations that will enable us to heal ourselves. We have therefore handpicked our own DNA structures and the possible opportunities to activate and awaken further strands of DNA. The energy of the Earth is moving through major vibrational shifts. Cosmic light and coded rays from our Creator have been coming onto the Earth, stimulating change and reordering our human bodies. And as the light encoded filaments are absorbed into our being, our scattered DNA has been delivered and activated and reformed into new helixes or strands of DNA and being reordered into bundles. Our 12 strands of DNA activate and connect to our 12 chakra points, energy doorways through which we access our spiritual heritage. And the 12 strands of DNA serve as links through the 12 chakras to the energy outside of our bodies. As all 12 strands of DNA are now forming, whatever issues we have not dealt with and peacefully cleared in our personal history can create chaos. Our task is to awaken, activate, and unite all 12, and that creates what's called the spinning of the 12. And I'd like to mention now that there is a YouTube video. It's done by Solara on Ra, and it's the best I've ever seen with respect to a short meditation. It only takes about 10 minutes, but it actively requests the reconnecting of your 12 strands of DNA with your 12 chakras, and in a very beautiful way, in a beautiful meditation. So I highly recommend you check out Solara on Ra. That's S-O-L-A-R-A-A-N-R-A, Solara on Ra. And it's listed under Pillar of Light, New Meditation, Pillar of Light. And also I'd like to share the information related to that from Archangel Michael. As he says, be as if it is already so, and it becomes this way. We are the programmers alone of our biological body vehicles, and one can prove every time as he talks to his DNA in a way that is more aligned with the universe and for the good of his soul, the body does exactly what he tells it to do. Remember, this talking to your DNA can be the literal words, but it is also a sum total of the vibration you emit. This coding of your DNA works every time in an exact manner that matches your vibration, whether you are conscious of this process or not. We are here to remind you to get back in the pilot seat of the great light body ship that brought you here and do the basic repairs needed on the ship. Recharge the system by taking back your personal power, your energy, and life force, and reprogram the computer and the controls of the ship so it'll fly again and set sail for the heavens. And that's information in a channeling from Archangel Michael. And in support of that information, I think it's very important to know that, yes, you can talk to your DNA, and you can make requests and commands specifically to your body. And Russian biophysicist and molecular biologist Garajev, and that's G-A-R-A-J-E-V, and his fellow scientists say the human DNA is a biological internet far superior than any artificial one. And there's clear evidence in which DNA can be influenced and reprogrammed by words and frequencies without cutting out and replacing single genes. Our DNA is not only responsible for building our body, but also serves as data storage and communication. The Russian linguists found that the genetic code, especially in the apparently useless 90%, follows the same rules as all our human languages. They were able to find out that the living chromosomes function just like solitonic holographic computers. And how is this done? Through the use of words and sentences, since words and sentences give out a vibrational frequency like mantras or intonation of language. And it is known that shamans, esoteric, and spiritual teachers have known for a long time that the potential of our body and mind is amazing, and they have known that it is programmable by language, words, and thought. And now, thanks to Garajev and his team, this theory has been scientifically proven and tested. Each individual must work on the inner processes and maturity in order to establish a conscious communication with the DNA. The relationship with the conscience of the individual is the degree of vibration, frequency, and the ability to connect with DNA through meditation. And I think this is a really, really important discovery. And by the way, that team of Russian scientists also discovered that our DNA can cause very disturbing patterns in a vacuum, which can lead to the production of magnetic and magnetized wormholes. And wormholes are believed to be the macroscopic equivalents of the so-called Einstein-Rosen bridges in the vicinity of black holes. And these are believed to be tunnel connections between entirely different areas in the universe through which information can be transmitted outside of space and time. And the researchers state that this supercommunication process is more efficient in a relaxed state. And according to Gerizhev and his team, stress and worry is a hyperactive intellect can prevent this DNA communication, thus making the information distorted and eventually useless. So he's given us some really specific goals there to work towards. And I might also add that crystals are also associated with the 12 strands of DNA, and I'm going to quickly give you those 12 crystals right now. Amethyst is related to the first strand, quartz crystal to the second, tiger's eye crystal for the third, rose quartz crystal for the fourth, solidite crystal for the fifth, citrine for the sixth, labradorite for the seventh, pyrites crystal for the eighth, crystal sodalite for the ninth, rhodochrosite crystal for the tenth, charoite, and that's C-H-A-R-O-I-T-E crystal for the 11th, and selenite quartz crystal for the 12th. And you can ask that your energy can tap into their wisdom and into the frequencies that they are emanating. And by acknowledging the crystal's presence and what it is assisting you with, you automatically become more sensitive and attuned to what the DNA of your body is trying to tell you and show you. You also increase the rate at which your body is transforming from carbon to silicon. Therefore, it would benefit you immensely to work with the crystal kingdom. And to me, that's really really important information with respect to utilizing crystals. And at this point, it's one of the things that typically on ET Yoga, I like to have practical experience with something before I present it. But in this case, I don't have all those crystals, or even a majority of them, and but it's something that I would like to acquire at some point. And of course, I have spoken quite a bit about the Andara crystal, which I'm very, very impressed with. And that, of course, that comes from a monatomic field. I'd also like to share with you information from Barbara Marciniak and her book, Path of Empowerment, with respect to more information about the specifically the 12 chakras. And they state that the concepts of cities, states, and nations serve as imaginary identifiers to structure an earth-based reality. And maps are used to define reality, but they are not reality. You cannot spend the night in another part of the country just by pointing to a place on the map. Without maps and markings, you would be unable to differentiate between one boundary and another. And in this same fashion, creative imagery can be very useful for exploring a reality that seems to be beyond your reach. And flowers are generally appreciated and treasured on Earth for their sumptuous beauty. They excite you and they have powerful life force energy. They open your chakras and are often used as a symbol for expressing your deepest feelings and sentiments. And associating the cosmic multidimensional chakras with the specific flowers will give you an image that you can use to explore the numerous non-physical aspects of your identity. And the eighth chakra is located 12 inches to 3 feet above the body and is linked with the lily. And the ninth chakra offers your consciousness greater mobility, and its symbol is the moonflower. The tenth center, represented by the sunflower, is known as your solar chakra. It connects and extends your consciousness anywhere in your solar system from the sun to beyond the planet Pluto. And the 11th center is your galactic chakra, and it is best represented by the red rose, which is the most popular flower for symbolizing and expressing love on Earth. Your consciousness can explore the galaxy by moving this energy center anywhere within the Milky Way, yet eventually the heart center will call you home to the birthplace of all that has come through its portal of creation, the galactic center. So connecting to the intelligence of your galaxy will open your consciousness to understanding how clusters of light truly function. And the 12th chakra connects you to realities beyond your own galaxy by stretching your identity far into the vast expanse of the universe, which is considered to be a singular field consisting and containing all that appears to exist. The universal chakra is best symbolized by the purple echinacea flower, whose cone is a mathematical marvel of spirals that epitomize the perfection of the golden mean ratio as the obvious design of life. And through the development of radio astronomy, photographs of the far-reaching cosmos depict events that transpired long, long ago, giving you a peek into a mystifying past. The 12th chakra acts as an open door into the territory of the past, as well as providing an intriguing window for exploring simultaneous time. The universe is part of the multiverse where layers of existence are linked through simultaneous time. And to complete the picture, an additional center, the 13th, opening to the multiverse embodies every other chakra. And the symbolic mysteries of the multiverse are best epitomized by the enigmatic mushroom, tending to appear and disappear on your world as if by magic. The mystifying mushroom can be a gourmet feast, nurturing and delicious, or it can terminate your life if you are not careful. Almost certainly, it can take you for a far-reaching and exciting ride into territories well beyond the confines of your perceptions. All of your chakras connect you with an unlimited source of energy to experience and explore the fine nuances of creating reality, and it is your responsibility to enjoy and make use of these capabilities. And that information comes from Barbara Marciniak and her book, Path of Self-Empowerment. So I think that kind of basically in summary there, what we're talking about is an amazing, amazing system. When we were I guess the idea came for creating this amazing human being, we were meant to function with 12 chakras and 12 connecting strands of DNA. And I might also add that there's two techniques that the Pleiadians talk about that I'm going to share with you now that are specifically related to assisting in that process. And one of them is the spinning technique. And I've been doing spinning for, about 10 years now, and it's just part of my daily routine. And the technique that I utilize is basically by standing with my feet about a foot apart and holding my palms together at chest level. And then I start to turn in a clockwise direction and focus my attention on my thumbs. If you focus your attention on your thumbs, you'll find that you don't lose balance. It might take you a little bit of time to practice, but I think most people catch on right away. It's kind of like riding a bike. Once you catch on, it's just simple. But the first few times could be a little bit awkward. I would suggest the first time or two you try it, and you make sure that, you know, there's not glass or objects around in case you kind of end up being like a drunken sailor. If you practice this and you do 33 spins, and there's actual YouTube on this that I found this week as well about that you can research, and there's a comment made in there that if you spin 33 times three times a day, or 99 spins in total. And you can work up to that slowly. But if you do that, they say, we'll see how long you stay on the planet, or at least in this dimension. So that's a comment from the Pleiadians. And this spinning, and also the pillar of light technique, and as I mentioned earlier in the program, if you go to the Solara on Ra, new pillar of light technique, that's the one where they'll give you instruction as to calling forth the pillar of light, and also grounding yourself to the earth, and in this process as well to ask for the reconnection of your 12 strands with your 12 chakras. And to me, these techniques are really they're just something that I do on a daily basis. This is to me, part and parcel of the whole concept of becoming self-realized. It's all related to the planting of the seed. When you realize that higher levels of consciousness are possible and you have the ability to attain them, you're really never given a desire without the ability to attain that desire. So once the seed is planted, you're looking for ways to achieve your goal. And one of the ways, as I see it, is making this connection. And not that there aren't other ways to become self-realized, as proven by all the yoga methods that never really talk about 12 chakras or connecting the 12 chakras. It is a byproduct of going through the doorway and becoming self-realized. At the same time, I'd also appreciate hearing from any of our listening audience who have yoga teachers or are in programs that related to yoga that actually talk about the 12 chakras, because I've never come across that information. And another one of the aspects, of course, that I think that the ET information really cross-connects with is the whole concept of reality creation. And again, I think this is an area that in the traditional yoga teachings or in, that there really was never a mention in my learning processes concerning the amazing power of belief. And to my way of thinking now, belief is synonymous with everything. It's a core, like the concept of self-realization, because it's your beliefs, your intentions, your emotions, your definitions that create the reality that you live in. And I think this also is the demarcation line between third and fourth dimensional people that think that's just a bunch of hooey. Well, it's been scientifically shown now that these thoughts and emotions do affect the outer. And so that's one of the concepts that's been blown away by modern science, which, in my opinion, continually just proves the really valid spiritual information. They're coming around with more and more ways to show that how important our emotions and our beliefs are. And the discovery of the neural center in the heart, which is magnetically 5,000 times stronger than the brain, which gives you an idea of how important our emotions are. Or as Bashar would say, outer circumstances don't matter. State of being is what matters, because state of being is what determines your future. And I'd also like to point in the direction of Merlin the Magician and Merlin the Magician, and from the books that's called Merlin's Message, relating to the whole concept of what they call creating Camelot, and related to your own creativity. And as they say, you are creative, for you cannot not be creative. There is no act in all the universe that is not creative. You are the artist extraordinaire, and a true artist knows that the joy of creating is in the process, not in the result. Life is not about where you are, what you have become, or what happens to you. It's always about where you're going, what you are becoming, and what you do with what happens to you. Use your powerful magic wand, potions, spells, and time travel to manifest your vision of who you want to be and who you want and what you want to do or have. And before you begin, find the calm center within. When you find yourself in need of anything, you are resonating in lack. Sickness exists only as the absence of wellness. Darkness is the absence of light. Poverty is the illusion of scarcity. In truth, there is no lack in all of Camelot. Camelot is found and in full view when you light a creative fire under what you desire. If you're looking at lack, that is what you get back. This serves you well, so you can better tell what you have been up to within. As you play with this never-ending process, remember to keep it light. You complain in vain, and it brings you more pain. My dad, my mom, my spouse, my kids, my job, my boss, my health, my car, my coffee, my finances, my fears, my failures, my nails, my neighbors, my difficulties, my struggles, my hair, my stress, my sacrifices, my concepts, my worries, my weight, my work. My, oh my, how you do go on. As the royal rule of reflection would have it, in your complaining you only bring more things to complain about. Keep in mind that all of life has both negative and positive aspects. You cannot have one without the other. All that is makes up the whole of everything. You feel less than wholly who you are when you pick apart or want to remove any part of the whole. This is where resistance comes into play, producing tension, stress, pain, disease, or lack of anything. When you get that it takes everything to have anything, you naturally resist nothing. When you remember to function as a whole being, you will naturally thrive because you are operating in the state of non-resistance. When you feel bad, this is good. In that moment, you are being altered and alerted that you are harmonizing in tune with the opposite of what you want. Now start your creative fire. Set your conscious sights on what you desire. Friends, know that as you appreciate the aspects of life that you love, you give more life to those realities. The better you feel, the better it gets. You want things for the feelings they give, and you are only given those things when you know they are a given. I know where I'm going because I'm already there. Where are you already there? In your inner world, the realm of your imagination, where all creation first takes place. Camelot is found in the land of your dreams and visions, and as you move from the wanting to the having of any desire, this is where you find Camelot, and Camelot finds you. Creativity has never been about things coming to you. Things come to you through your creativity. For eons, you have been listening to each other rehash and reiterate old, worn-out thoughts that no longer serve you. You as a mass consciousness have been creating cycles of sameness through hand-me-down habits and beliefs that are a disservice to mankind. You have largely forgotten your first and foremost nature to be joyful. You have developed what you term second nature. To a great extent, this is not your natural state of being, but merely habits of thought. It seems completely normal to tell yourself and others how it is, what you experience, even if it isn't pleasant. You form groups to fight wars against all sorts of things. This is not how you intended life to be. It's how you were taught to be. Instead, speak of how you want it to be, how you would have it if you could have it your way. If you find you are feeling pain, consider then what would be your pleasure. Never in the history of mankind have there been more people at one time reawakening and remembering. More and more of you are beginning to use your power on purpose, using your clearest intentions, rally together for realities that bring bliss. There is vast untapped energy in the co-creative process. Remember that what you create together grows. Focus is the fire that fuels the combustion of creation. Focus your increasing power on the good of all. The way of the wizard is love, trust, and wonder. And as you realize your fear, doubt, and worry, you get out of your own way and allow the universe to get out of its way for you. And that's from information from the book, actually, called Merlin's Message. And it's a little pocket-sized book, and it's one that I usually always have handy. Also the website, Creating Camelot Club. Very, very, very interesting website to explore, and I highly recommend that you do that. So kind of in summary, what we're kind of talking about tonight in tonight's program is this whole marriage between ET information and yoga. And the two areas specifically that I think that the ET information enhances this the most is in the area of talking about our 12 chakras and our 12 strands of DNA instead of the traditional seven, and which are all in the body, and there's five of these chakras that exist outside the body. And also in talking about reality creation and linking that to the whole concept of beliefs, because to me, beliefs is everything. And many times in conversation, it comes up for me that I'm talking to someone and everybody understands the power of the placebo with respect to medications. But what they don't realize is that that whole concept is valid in every area of your life. It's not just in the medical field where if you believe something works, it does. It's true in every part of your life. So I also highly, highly recommend that people take the time to take a piece of paper and a pencil and write down what your current beliefs are. Like make some certain categories, if you like. Like, what do you believe about money? What do you believe about the world? What do you believe? You know, make some general categories, and then write down what your current beliefs are. And maybe you want to connect those to what were those beliefs, let's say, when you were growing up. How many of those beliefs are the same as your parents? How many of these beliefs are no longer serving you? I mean, to me, this is the whole process of maturation or spiritual maturation. Because you thank your original caregivers for those wonderful ideas and concepts and beliefs that they gave you, but at the same time, there may be some that no longer serve you, or that may be even detrimental to your quality of life. And so thus, knowing what you believe is part of doing your homework. And I think you'll find that if you really check that out, that you'll see that your beliefs do match up with your physical experience, because the fact is that you can't experience anything in this 3D reality unless you're a frequency match for that experience. And as Bashar would say, basically we live in a holographic universe, and all these holograms are they come into play because we create a frequency match for those holograms. And it's just like information that, you know, one person absorbs, another person just goes right over their head, or they don't hear it. They're just invisible to it, because you're invisible to anything that's not in your frequency range. And that's one of the things that I love about the ET yoga listening audience, is because why would you be listening to a program about self-realization if you didn't know about the concept? Well, of course you do. And you're looking for ways to enhance your concepts and your abilities and skills, and I hope that you found something in tonight's program that will help you in that endeavor. In fact, usually I make a point of wishing my sincere best to everyone in their quest for full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And certainly tonight's program is no exception. I certainly sincerely wish that for everyone. And the more people that we have out there that are working on attaining that highest goal, I think the more that it helps to vibrationally change everything. I'd also like to go into a little bit more detail in closing tonight. I usually close with the Who Am I technique. And I'd like to quote from the great man himself, Sri Ramana Maharshi. And he says, "For the subsistence of the mind, there is no other means more effective than self-inquiry. This is the direct method. All other methods are practical while retaining the ego. Self-inquiry leads directly to self-realization by removing the obstacles which make you think that the self is not already realized. Meditation requires an object to meditate on, whereas in self-inquiry, there is only the subject and no object. This is the difference between the two." And when he was asked, why should self-inquiry alone be considered the direct path to realization? And he says, because every kind of path except self-inquiry presupposes the retention of the mind as the instrument for following it and cannot be followed without the mind. The ego may take different and more subtle forms at different stages of one's practice, but it is never destroyed. The attempt to destroy the ego or the mind by methods other than self-inquiry is like a thief turning policeman to catch the thief that is himself. Self-inquiry alone can reveal the truth that neither the ego nor the mind really exists, and enables one to realize the pure, undifferentiated being of the self or the absolute. And I'd like to now give the process there for doing a Who Am I technique or meditation, and you place all your total attention in the center of your forehead, and you become that spot. And the more full you become that spot, the more effective the technique can be. And then you're asking the question, who am I? And as stated before, when you ask a question, you're being a frequency match for that answer. And you can state who am I multiple times or a few times, whatever feels comfortable for you. But the main thing here is to be centered and focused and become that spot between your four eyes, your that spot in your forehead, and become that spot, and then ask the question, who am I? And then state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part. It is time to become a part.